Well, the few, the proud, the brave that came to church on the 5th of July. Thank you. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. I know it was probably hard to get up and get moving today. I know it was for me. As the alarm went off and everything, Lauren and I were like, I just don't know. But no, just kidding. We made it. We just, because it's hard to call in. So, this year, we have a theme, Questions from Heaven. And every month, we kind of go through a series of questions around the same sort of topic. So now that we're in July, we're starting to talk about questions about following Christ. So, today's question's a good one. As if any of them have been bad, but today is a good one. It comes from Mark 10:18, and the question is, why do you call me good? So, for those that are unfamiliar with this particular passage, let's see here. I do want to give you some context. So, Jesus had just, the transfiguration had just happened. He is, again, he's teaching, he's going through the countryside, and he's giving these lessons. The little children come to him. The disciples rebuke the kids for coming. And Jesus said, no, 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 let the children come to me. So that's where we are in Mark. And in 10:17, we get to this section. Excuse me, as my pride, I got to set it aside for a minute. There we go. Okay. As Jesus started on his way, so they had been in this area, and they had been ministering and preaching and teaching, and so they're getting ready to leave. So as you can imagine, as we all do, we pack our bags, we're getting ready, we're in the weeds of it, we're in the thick of it, and we're packing up the whatever we're going to do so that we can get on our travels, right? So that's where we are. As Jesus was getting ready and they were starting on their way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And here's our question. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Stop. If the Bible says you have great wealth, you got great wealth. Anyway, sorry. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed, and they said to one another, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. So why do we call him good? I mean, I pose the question, and in your bulletin, there's a little place if you want to write down, why do you call Jesus good? Where have you seen in your lives Jesus be good to you? And make note of those things, because it's always good to remember the good that he's done for us. Amen? It's always good to be reminded of the good things. And I want to point out a couple of things in this passage. We'll do a quick Bible study, then we'll get to actual teaching on things. So the first thing I kind of want to point out is that he came and he said, good teacher. Which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus is good, right? But Jesus flipped it on him and said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And I think it is because Jesus understood this man's heart, this man's motivation. You see, the young man goes forward and kind of out of his heart, or out of his mouth, his heart is exposed. But here's what Jesus said. "All right, fine. You want to earn eternal life? You want to merit it on your own? Fine, here's what you got to do." And he literally gives him the Ten Commandments. He gives him the law of Moses. And so the man says, "Hey, cool. All that stuff you just said, I've been doing that since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. No problem." Jesus loved him. Why? Because the man was pure in his intention of, "I want to keep the law, and I want to do these things." And Jesus says, he raised the bar again. And he says, "Okay, fine, you've done all that stuff, but if you want to be perfect, like if you really want to get it right, take all that stuff that you trust in, all that wealth and all that property and all that stuff, sell it, distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." The man went away sad because he trusted in himself. He trusted in his abilities, in his wealth, in his riches, in his good doing, and in his law keeping. He was fully trusting that I got this licked, man. And Jesus, as always, anytime you come to him and say, "Lord, Lord, look at all these things, look at all these things," he'll always go, "That's great, but there's a bar one step ahead of you, one bar raised higher." And the whole point was, come, follow me. That is what Jesus was trying to get the young man to see. It wasn't about the wealth, because if you read further, Jesus says, anyone that forsakes land, riches, wives, husbands, children, for my sake and the gospel, will receive 100-fold over in this life with persecutions. It's there. And in the next life, eternal life. So we call Jesus good because he is good. And he does really good things. And it's easy to raise your hands in worship and say, "Praise God, for he is good," when things are good. But what happens when they're not? What happens when things aren't good? There's a band that, you know, little band, Mercy Me, that has been around for a couple of years. And the lead singer, his name is Bart Mallard, like the duck. When his son was 2 years old, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And for anyone who has diabetes or knows someone with diabetes, it's tough, especially childhood diabetes. It is a life filled with pain, filled with uncertainty, filled with even a potential shortened expectancy of life here. And as a father, I know, man, if that would have been me, I just don't know. Well, you fast forward 13 years after that diagnosis, and he pins the words to a song. And that song is called "Even If." And if you haven't heard it, I do recommend it. For copyright, we won't play it. But I'm just going to read you some of the lyrics. They say, "Sometimes you win some, and sometimes you lose some. And right now, right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken that it will be all right. But right now, oh, right now, I just can't." It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I think if I ask for a raise of hands, I think we all in this room could say we've been held to the flame before. I think we can all say it's easy to sing when it's going great, but right now I just can't. "I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. John 16:33, Jesus promised us that in this life, you will have trouble. You will. So if you haven't had trouble yet, congratulations, it's gonna happen. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And in another place, in Matthew 7:13-14, he also promised us yet again, great news, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And there are many that enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In some translations, it says narrow is the gate and difficult the road. I'll tell you, this has been a hard one for me to put together, this message. I have agonized over it for a couple weeks now, and especially this last week, I have really, it's been hard. It's been really hard to put into words the things that I'm telling you and the things that I'm going to tell you. I thought, after I got saved at 17, that now that I've accepted Christ, and now that he's my Savior, things are gonna get easier. My life's gonna improve now. All that hard stuff that I was struggling with, be done. We're gonna march forward in victory. Well, I fast forward a few years and, man, life is going great. I've got a great job, driving a Mercedes-Benz S-Class. Smooth, it was smooth. Designer clothes. I had a designer wallet. It was Louis Vuitton. Designer sunglasses. I'm telling you, I was like the rich young ruler and the disciples. You see, in those days, in first century Israel, if you had land and you had money and you had servants, that was an outward showing that God was with you. You were doing the right things and you were blessed by God. So for Jesus to say how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of heaven, this was a complete upside down flip reversal. What? You mean if the ones who are most qualified are disqualified, then who can be saved? And that's what Jesus was trying to tell me, is that all your effort and all the things that you're doing, even if it's in my name, great, means nothing if you don't come follow me. And so the reason that this message was hard is that the cost of discipleship is high. Salvation is a free gift. Jesus purchased it for us, so that gift is paid in full. You can receive it. And it costs you nothing to be saved. So your salvation is free. Your sanctification, on the other hand, your discipleship, now that costs. Because Jesus said, anyone who wants to come and follow me, well, they have to deny themselves, take their cross and follow me and come after me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But for anyone who's willing to lose their life for my sake, he will find it. The Greek word there, by the way, for destroy is the same word for repudiate. It's the same word for deny. It's the same word for destroy. It literally means to tear yourself down for his sake so that you will find life in him. So the cost of discipleship is high, and the reason that I bring all this up is that it's easy to sing when there's nothing going wrong in your life. When the bills are paid, when the pantry's full, when the gas tank is full, because man, gas, glory to God. But what happens when sickness hits? What happens when that diagnosis happens? What happens when you're given a timestamp of life you can be expected to have? Will you still say that God is good? Will you still say that He is good? When you have to go to a food pantry to feed your family and depend on the charity of others, will you still call Him good then? When they're sending letters and threatening to take your house because the bills are stacking up and it seems insurmountable, will you still call Him good? When you lose a loved one unexpectedly, when Asher, my son, was around 2 or 3 years old, he went in for a routine outpatient surgery. Supposed to have gone home that afternoon. It was just supposed to have been simple. But in the surgery, something went wrong. And he had to be on life support for 2 days while they tried to get his lungs clear enough to breathe again on his own. And I cannot tell you how hard it is to look at your child strapped down to a bed with tubes keeping him alive. He gave me permission to share this story, so thank you, Asher. I will tell you the truth. It was hard for me to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the situation that we're in. So, I will say this. Will you still call Jesus good if someone you love is struggling with a diagnosis or an incurable disease? Will you still call Him good if you're passed over for that promotion at work that's supposed to be yours, went to that next person? Or even worse, you get let go of that job that you've had, maybe for 20 years. Or, like I said, if someone suddenly just passes away and they leave your life. What if your car gets totaled? And so I'm going to continue the lyrics here. They say, it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. That's a good thing, because a little faith is all I have right now. But God, would you choose to leave mountains unmovable? Oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. The reason that this message is hard is because it's true. Every single person in this room, if you call on Jesus as your Lord, and if you've been walking with Him for even a week, you know firsthand that being a disciple is hard sometimes. And it does not make sense. And sometimes you can wonder, Lord, I did all these things. I prayed the prayers. I gave. I fasted. I did all the things that you told me to do, but it still happened anyway. I know I've said this before, but that was me in 2007 with my S-Class Mercedes and all of the blessings that I thought that God was giving me because of my performance and because of all of my amazingness and all of my prayers for my father who had cancer as I watched him go through that process. And ultimately, yeah, my prayers did not get answered the way I thought. And I did thank Lord. But didn't I? But that's where you've got to understand. He is sovereign. That means He answers to nobody, and that's a good thing, which means that He is in control of all things. And everything that comes to your life passes through His will. Our job as disciples is to not question his motives. It's but to thank him for his goodness, because he has a plan in it, and he's working all the things in your life for good. You can't see it right now, and that's okay. It might not feel good, but that's okay. It didn't feel good for the disciples when they're in the boat and he was asleep. You know, and as Pastor Scott was talking about last week about holding on to that guy's wooden leg. You know, I joked with him later and I said, you should have called that wooden leg dear life, because that's what you were hanging on to for dear life. Anyway, bad joke. So my encouragement is this. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to face hard things. That's okay. For the Bible says, who he loves, he also disciplines. And not every bad thing that happens in your life is a lesson. Sometimes it's to give God glory. Because the reason why we had to go through a hard thing is that now we can point and say, look at what God did. And it's true for all three of my boys, honestly. I have story after story after story. And I could tell you story after story, but I don't want to keep you that long. But here's my encouragement, church. We will face hard things, but we don't do it alone. We do it with him. We do it with each other. That's the beautiful part about community church, is it's a reminder that, yes, we're a church, but we're a community. And that there are so many different people in this room and in this congregation. People who are on the mountain, people who are in the valley, people who have it all together, and people who are barely hanging on. I can tell you, I've been in both. And still some weeks, man, it can feel like, hold on, Betsy. We don't even know a Betsy, do we? I don't know. Do you know a Betsy? No. Okay. So, is it Betsy? Are you here? Any Betsys? Okay. That would be so weird. But honestly, my whole message today was not to convict. It's not to confront. It's to exhort. It's to build you up in faith. What you're going through, the hard, the insurmountable, God, if you choose to leave this mountain unmovable, give me the strength to say it's well with my soul.